Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are so thrilled to have you sitting at the table with us today, because for this discussion, we are taking you straight into an environment where the stakes are quite literally life and death.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
We are stepping right into the back of an ambulance to examine the high-stress, split-second world of pre-hospital emergency pharmacology.
It is a profoundly complex environment. I mean, most people they only witness this level of acute medical intervention on television.
Right.
But the actual physiological science happening in the back of that rig during a crisis is just incredibly sophisticated.
And to guide us through this landscape, we are relying on a really fantastic curation of source material today. We are looking at excerpts from a text called Catecholamines in Pre-Hospital Emergency Care,
which is hosted on mundaninteractive.com.
Exactly. And the material is curated by Forrest Munden. For context, Forrest is a seasoned paramedic with decades of clinical experience.
So we are looking at this not just from a theoretical standpoint, but through the lens of applied street-level science.
Yeah, our mission for this deep dive is to unpack the critical mechanisms of two incredibly powerful life-saving drugs, dopamine and epinephrine.
We are going specifically into how paramedics use these two medications to manage life-threatening low blood pressure.
Hypotension.
Right. Profound hypotension in patients who are suffering from extreme slow heart rates, so severe bradycardia, or acute congestive heart failure.
When you are dealing with a patient in CHF or someone whose heart rate has just dropped precipitously, that resulting hypotension is the immediate crisis. If systemic pressure falls too far, organ perfusion just stops.
It shuts down completely.
So the text gives us a highly effective central analogy to help you visualize what these two drugs actually do in that scenario. Think of the human body's cardiovascular system as a car engine.
It's a perfect way to look at it. And in this framework, these drugs act as chemical engine boosters.
With dopamine being characterized as the tunable fuel injector, because its effects can be precisely adjusted based on the dose.
While epinephrine, on the other hand, is the full throttle accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
What's fascinating here is why this matters in the field. In a chaotic emergency, a paramedic doesn't just throw medicine at a patient.
Right, they aren't just following a flow chart.
They are making calculated mechanical adjustments to a failing biological engine to stabilize it.
Okay, let's unpack this and start with our first tool, the tunable fuel injector dopamine. Before we get into the mechanisms, what exactly is dopamine in this context?
Well, fundamentally, dopamine is an endogenous neurotransmitter.
Meaning the patient's body already synthesizes it naturally.
Exactly. However, in this acute pre-hospital setting, paramedics administer it synthetically via a highly controlled intravenous infusion.
And the standard dosing protocol is remarkably precise, right? Typically running between 2 and 20 micrograms per kilogram per minute.
It's a very narrow administration window.
Micrograms per kilogram per minute. But the text emphasizes that this 2 to 20 range isn't just a matter of volume. It isn't just giving more or less of the same effect.
No, that is the defining characteristic of dopamine. Depending on exactly where the clinician sets that infusion dial, the drug acts progressively on entirely different receptors.
So it actually changes its primary pharmacological function as you turn up the dial.
Yes. The text explains this beautifully. As you titrate the dose upward, you are sequentially engaging dopaminergic receptors, then beta-1 receptors, and finally alpha-1 receptors.
Let's stretch this out and walk through those phases so you can visualize the physiological shifts. Let's start with phase 1 low doses.
Right around 2 to 5 micrograms per kilogram per minute.
What is happening at that baseline infusion rate?
At that low end of the spectrum, dopamine exhibits a strong affinity for dopaminergic receptors.
Which the text says is essentially like opening the floodgates.
Right. It induces targeted vasodilation in the renal and mesenteric vascular beds.
So widening the vessels that supply blood to the kidneys and the gut.
Exactly. You are improving kidney perfusion and gut blood flow.
Which is vital because during physical shock, the body's natural reflex is to clamp down on peripheral circulation.
To save the brain and the heart. But if the renal arteries stay constricted for too long, you get complete organ shutdown.
So this low dose overrides that destructive reflex. It is a highly selective protective maneuver.
But if the systemic pressure remains critically low and the protective dose isn't cutting it, the paramedic has to turn the dial up.
To phase 2, the medium dose range, which is roughly 5 to 10 micrograms per kilogram per minute.
At this threshold, the drug's affinity shifts to the beta-1 receptors.
And beta-1 receptors are predominantly in the heart, right?
Yes, they are, in the myocardium. So stimulating them provides inotropic support.
boosting the heart's contractility and rate.
Going back to our central analogy, this is where we start revving the engine.
But doing it without overstraining it, that is the key takeaway for you listening.
Because a patient with bradycardia or CHF already has a compromised heart. You need to increase cardiac output. But if you demand too much oxygen too quickly, you risk severe damage.
This beta 1 range gives you a controlled increase.
Right. It organically elevates the systemic blood pressure to a viable baseline.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Phase 3, high doses.
Yes. When a paramedic pushes dopamine past that 10 microgram per kilogram per minute threshold,
it abandons the beta receptors entirely.
And it aggressively targets alpha-1 receptors.
What is the massive physiological shift there?
Systemic vasoconstriction.
Yeah.
The entire vascular bed clamps down tight.
The body tightening its vessels body-wide to literally force the blood pressure up.
Exactly, including the pulmonary arteries, which can increase lung resistance, and the coronary beds.
So to summarize dopamine's brilliance for you, it is a tunable fuel injector. In bradycardic, or CHF, patients, it elevates BP by enhancing cardiac output and selective perfusion.
Stabilizing the patient without overwhelming an already sick heart, it is a highly calibrated approach.
But what happens when the engine isn't just struggling, but is effectively stalling out? That brings us to the heavy hitter, epinephrine.
A completely different pharmacological animal.
It is IV infused at much smaller doses, right? 0.01 to 0.5 micrograms per kilogram per minute.
Or, in sheer emergencies, it's given as a direct intravenous bolus.
Because the mechanism is a stark contrast to dopamine.
We just talked about the elegant dose-dependent nature of dopamine. Epinephrine does not do that. It is non-selective.
It broadly and simultaneously activates alpha-1 and beta-1 and beta-2 receptors.
All at once. The alpha-1 causes massive vasoconstriction,
while the beta-1 and 2 cause increased heart rate contractility and bronchodilation.
The text highlights this perfectly. It's literally like dumping adrenaline into the system for a rapid surge.
Because epinephrine is synthetic adrenaline.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you can start to see the pros and cons of this approach.
It raises blood pressure through widespread vessel constriction and aggressive cardiac stimulation.
But it is far less selective than dopamine. It's a blunt instrument.
You are resolving the hypotension through sheer pharmacological force.
And you really need to emphasize the specific risks mentioned in the text here. Because of this aggressive, non-selective approach, you're forcing a sick pump to work at maximum capacity against maximum resistance.
Which creates a huge oxygen supply and demand mismatch in the heart.
Exactly. So you can potentially spike pulmonary pressures, which makes fluid backup in a CHF patient much worse.
Or cause dangerous arrhythmias.
Right. The heart may become so electrically chaotic from that adrenaline dump that it just fibrillates.
So what does this all mean? If we boil it down for you looking at these two drugs side by side, they both counteract low BP and bradycardia and CHF.
But with entirely different treatment philosophies.
Dopamine relies on a targeted vasodilation and vasoconstriction balance, making it the go-to for renal protection.
While epinephrine relies on aggressive global effects, making it the switch-to option for rapid resuscitation.
When organ preservation is secondary to simply keeping the patient alive for the next 5 minutes. And this brings in a really compelling final detail from the source. How paramedics like Forrest Munden actually learn to make these split-second calls.
Because reading about receptor affinities is one thing, but deploying them in the back of a moving ambulance is another.
The source highlights London Interactive as a top resource for NRMT prep.
The National Registry of Emergency Medical Technicians.
They use interactive scenarios to build these exact real-world skills.
Because a multiple-choice test can't replicate a crashing patient. High-fidelity simulation puts the clinician in a scenario where the patient's vitals are actively deteriorating.
You have to decide if the clinical picture demands the fuel injector or the accelerator.
And if you push epinephrine too early on a patient who just needed gentle dopamine, the simulation shows the patient developing a lethal arrhythmia.
It builds that vital clinical muscle memory.
So the pharmacology is so deeply ingrained that choosing the right lever becomes second nature.
To wrap up our journey today, it fundamentally changes how you view pre-hospital care. A paramedic isn't just a driver.
They are a mechanic for the human body.
Choosing exactly the right fuel to keep a failing engine running until they reach the hospital doors.
This raises an important question, though. And it builds perfectly on that engine booster analogy.
What's that?
If dopamine is a tunable fuel injector, and epinephrine is a full-throttle accelerator for a failing heart, it makes you wonder.
Yeah.
What happens to these delicate emergency livers if the patient's engine has been running on the completely wrong physiological fuel, like chronic stress or poor diet, for decades before the paramedic even arrives?
That is a phenomenal layer of complexity, the daily wear and tear dictating how the body responds to the ultimate crisis. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive to explore the high-stakes science of pre-hospital pharmacology. Keep exploring the science around you.